Good evening, everybody. I have the pleasure of reading from the scripture with us tonight. So we're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Now that's on page 857 of these Black Pew Bibles, if you've got one there, or your app or other Bible device that might be on a phone. I don't know what page that is. 857, Luke chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 8, reading about the shepherds and what happened at Christmas. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with them, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it had been, as it had been told to them. May the Lord bless us with the reading of his word today.
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Joe. If you don't know me, one of the pastors here, it's great you can be with us for our Christmas service. Happy Christmas, everyone. So good you can be here. We've got some supper downstairs, so make sure you hang around for a bit, have a chat, get to know some people and have a bite to eat. But we have been, as a church, just over the last few weeks, looking at different songs that get sung in the Bible around Jesus' birth. So there's actually songs recorded for us like the one today, and we've seen two of those already, and this is the third one we're looking, and if you want to come again on New Year's Eve, we'll be looking at the fourth in that series. So we're looking at the songs that get sung around Jesus' birth. I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump into today's message. Father, thank you so much for Christmas. Thank you for the joy and the wonder of knowing that you sent your Son to us, and we can celebrate that together this evening, Lord. So we thank you for that, but we thank you for your word, how it teaches us, how it encourages us, how it challenges us, and we pray that you would do that for us tonight. For Jesus' glory, we pray. Amen. Look, Christmas is probably one of the events in your life that your perception of has changed more than anything else as you get older. When you were a kid, Christmas was the best. Christmas was amazing because it was pretty much all about you. It required minimal effort from you, but you got maximum reward. You didn't need to earn money to buy the presents. You didn't even really have to do all that much of the thinking or the shopping. Someone probably helped you with that or did it for you. The most you had to do was write "To Dad from Joe" on a gift tag, and that was about it. You barely had to do any of the housework, getting the house ready to host. You didn't have to cook any food. But you will get more presents than anyone else. You will eat all of the food that you can eat. You'll have all of the fun. All the focus will be on you. Everyone will take photos of you opening your presents with excitement. And generally, everyone will placate your every wish. But when you get older and become an adult, especially when you become a parent, Christmas is very different. Christmas requires maximum effort, and you get minimum reward. You break your back earning all the money to buy everything. You do all of the present buying, even at midnight at Chermside last night or something like that. You clean the house. You mow the lawn and tidy the gardens. You cook all the food. You take all the photos. You control the crowd of kids that's running around anywhere. You clean up all the wrapping paper that gets heaped in the middle of the room. And then you have to go and scrounge around to find AA batteries to fit into the toy that the kid, because it didn't come included in the box. And you end up with a gift card at the end of the day. For Christmas, for kids at Christmas, it's minimum effort, maximum reward. For parents at Christmas, it is maximum effort and minimum reward. This is why we might say something like, "Oh, Christmas, it's for the little ones." So why we might sing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year," it can easily feel like that wonder is for someone else and maybe not so much for you. And as we get older and life goes on, perhaps our circumstances continue to change. Family might move away and we lose loved ones and relationships break down and we can feel even more disconnected from the so-called magic of Christmas to the point where we might even wish that there were some kids running around that we could, you know, cook food for or clean up their mess. It can even get to the point where the distance between our past joys of Christmas and our present pain, loneliness and sorrow makes Christmas the last thing we want to be celebrating. Christmas isn't always merry for everyone. We might get a Christmas card in the mail with the word "peace" sprawled across the front of it in a glittery cursive font, but peace is the last thing that we feel. I think this is why it's good for us as a church to look at these songs that are recorded around the account of Jesus' birth in the Bible, because pretty much all of these songs come from a very different position than our Christmases today. All these songs come to people who are in difficult circumstances. We've seen Mary's song, and we saw that Mary's life had been turned upside down when she was chosen to be the bearer of God's Son. She was thrust into a position of ridicule and scandal, and yet out of this uncertainty, she sung of the way that God could reverse the fortunes of a weary world. And last week, we saw that Zechariah had lived a life of childless sorrow, serving a God who had not spoken to his people in 400 years. But God gave him and his wife a miracle child, and he burst forth in prophetic song about the power of salvation and the tender mercy of God. See, the original Christmas message did not come to a tinsel-wrapped world covered in fairy lights and frivolity. The original Christmas message came to a people living in brokenness and hardship. No more than perhaps the circumstances surrounding the song that we look at today, the song that Becky read to us just a moment ago. It's often said that shepherds were considered to be amongst the most lowly of professions in Israel. And I don't know if that's true or not, but what I do know is that while everyone else was in the comfort of their home, the shepherds were out in the fields. While everyone else was snug in bed, they were huddled around small fires to keep warm. While everyone else spent their nights with their families, they spent their nights with their sheep. Shepherds, by the very nature of their job, were not really part of the in-crowd. They were shift workers. They spent all of their time out, away from the community, spent long hours out in the fields, pushed out of the heart of community, doing the dirty job that nobody else wanted to do. Shepherds were on the outer. Their profession wasn't glamorous. They were probably just hired help to do a job that no one wanted to do. Their station was lowly and their life was humble. To me, this sounds a little bit like maximum work for minimum reward. And yet when we come to Luke 2, we see that for the shepherds of Bethlehem, the usual nightly grind was completely blown away. Look at verses 8 and 9 of Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. So far we have seen that the message of Christmas has come to an old and forgotten Zechariah and Elizabeth, the young Virgin Mary and her betrothed Joseph. And now the message of Christmas comes to lowly shepherds, and they get included in this privilege of receiving a message from God. They might be out in the cold. They might have been sort of pushed out of community. They might have been considered to be on the outer of society, but God chose to reveal himself to them. They are among the first to be told of the greatest of Christmas miracles. It's not to a king in a palace, or a Pharisee in a temple, or a rich landowner in the marketplace. Rather, it is to lowly shepherds in a field. And they are told plainly by the angel that the answers to the cries of a nation, the answers to the biggest problems that they faced, the answers to their fears and failures had been given to them. But it was the way that this message came that is of particular importance tonight. The text tells us that when the angel appeared, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Don't miss this. Here are these shepherds, the forgotten night shift of Bethlehem, out in a field, huddled around a small fire, definitely on the out of their culture, but for God they become a target for the revelation of his glory. These shepherds probably would have been taught that no one gets to see God's glory, and that even the high and lofty heroes of the faith like Moses and Abraham and Isaiah, they only got to see small glimpses of God's glory. But suddenly, humble shepherds are given a spectacular image of heaven, a taste of his majestic glory, and they are told the good news that unto them a Saviour had been born. Christ, the Messiah of their long-awaited hopes, had finally come. And the song the angels sing here when they arrive is not long, it's not intricate, it's not rich with biblical imagery like Mary or Zechariah's song, but it is filled with sheer beauty and joy and a stunning truth that we need to hear today. Because when the angel finishes telling of the good news, a multitude of heavenly hosts arrive and they sing the song that we're looking at tonight. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The simple yet spectacular song of the angels focuses on two things: glory to God and peace on earth. And while these might seem like fairly innocuous statements, kind of like generic greetings or well wishes, it's actually monumental. Because we tend to be fairly suspicious of those who get clothed in glory. The last thing that we will think will come for us when someone else gets clothed in glory is peace for us. Normally, people who get glory let it go to their heads, and they become infatuated with gaining more and more glory and they trample over everyone and everything around them to get it and to hold on to it. The boss who gets promoted and demands more and more and more from the workers in order to secure greater accolades for themselves. The person who wins the award and then dines out on it for years to come, expecting everyone to hang off every word they say. The politician who wins office, thinks it entitles them to unlimited perks and an army of public servants to do everything for them. When people get glory, it normally means anything but peace for those around them. So when we hear the angels sing of God's glory partnered with peace on earth, we should be rightfully amazed. In almost every other religion, a God getting glory comes off the back of the work of the people. Worshippers have to sacrifice, strain, and strive to honor their God, and they get nothing in return. Maximum effort for minimum reward. But the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, when he is given glory, it results in peace for those who worship him. We almost can't conceive of something so spectacular. In our minds, someone else getting glory almost always results in me getting shafted. How can these angels claim that glory to God means peace on earth? Well, the answer to that question is that God's glory does not come in the form of spectacular splendor extracted from unwilling worshippers. Privilege or prestige paid for by others. God's glory does not come in what others give him, but in what he gives to us. God's glory, the glory to God the angels sing about, comes in the form of a small newborn baby wrapped in cloths, lying in an animal feed trough. Not some king clothed in riches, not some political ruler with ultimate power, not some famous influencer with a huge following, but a baby born to a young poor couple living in difficult circumstances in a small town, a baby lying in a manger. Nothing or no one else in this world will treat you like this. Everything and everyone will try to extract glory out of you, but only the God of the Bible receives glory through the peace that he graciously gives to you. And it doesn't stop with the birth of his son in humble circumstances. God was not just giving us a baby for a day so we could have a Christmas celebration 2,000 years later. God gave his son to us completely, fully, the whole of his life. The whole of his life continued to magnify the glory of God by what he gave to us. Jesus gave of himself to help the helpless, to lift up the broken, to forgive the sinner, to heal the hurting, to welcome the lost, to give sight to the blind. And ultimately, Jesus gave his very life, dying on the cross in our place in order to forgive our sins and welcome us back to relationship with God. The ultimate glory of God is seen in the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our benefit, for our peace. His glory becomes our peace as we are forgiven of our sins and cleansed of all our guilt. In so many ways, the true magic of Christmas is seen in God doing everything, God sacrificing everything, God giving everything, God giving us his Son so that we might receive the maximum reward, maximum peace, maximum hope. God does the maximum effort, but we get the maximum reward. So whatever your Christmas looks like this year, No matter how difficult it is for you to celebrate this year, we can know with absolute certainty that in Jesus, you have all of the wonder and joy of Christmas in full, because he has given all of himself so that you can have that maximum reward. So different is this new vision of glory and peace for the shepherds that in verse 16 they can't help but respond. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Compelled by the glory of God and this offer of peace, the shepherds leave their sheep, race to the city, and behold the glory of God in the baby that lies in the manger. And so my plea for all of us this Christmas would be that we would do the same, that we would see in the glory of Jesus something worth pursuing, because it's the only glory in this entire world that will give you something, that will give you true peace. And so I would plead with you this evening, seek out the glory of God in Jesus and know the full peace that he offers. There's a few ways you can do that. Ben mentioned the course that we're running in the new year. If you're around, we'd love to share the hope of Jesus with you. There's some books at the back on the table there called Essential Jesus that has the story of Jesus' life in them and an opportunity for you to investigate more. Or you can come and have a chat to Ben or myself or to someone you know here. We would love to share the hope and the peace of Jesus with you this evening. The glory of God in Jesus Christ is that he does the maximum effort so that we get the maximum reward. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for Jesus. We want to thank you so much that you are the only one, the only God, Lord, who when you are glorified, we get peace, we get joy, we get hope, because you are the only God whose glory is wrapped up in what you give to us in your Son, Jesus. And so I pray, Lord, that we might be like those shepherds this evening, that we might have hearts filled with a desire and an urgency to seek out this peace that you offer, and that we would take steps to go and see what you have done for us in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.